At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
It's an honor this morning, once again, to bring to you the message of the Lord from His holy word. This morning, I choose to be used as a vessel of noble honor to convey the message of God as received from Him and to you and I, so that we may completely walk in the ways of our Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning, I'm delighted to choose on a book that we're gonna speak about today to hear the Word of God. And that book is Exodus. Exodus is a very known book, I believe, to all of us. The book that follows after Genesis, and we all understand what transpires in this book of Exodus, that is between the Egyptians and the Israelites. So my message today will come from Exodus chapter 14, from the 5th verse to the 14th verse. And as projected by my brother Ishvan, the topic would be stand firm. Standing firm. So before I pick up, we all know that the book of Exodus speaks or brings about the liberation of the people of God, that is the Israelites, from Egypt, the land of oppression, bondage, and the land of their suffering, the land of sin, but at the same time, the land of refuge and protection when the Israelites were in need. So this book of Exodus, I picked from a point where it speaks about the crossing of the Red Sea. But before we reach the crossing of the Red Sea, just to give a recap of what transpires in this book, it's the oppression of the Israelites by this oppressive ruler, the Pharaoh's regime, and even the Egyptians themselves, who were against the ways of God and the people of God in this case. This prompted God to bring about the birth of Moses and even his call, a man of low stature, somebody who was a stammerer, who could not speak well, somebody who was at the lowest at that moment, being born, rescued from the death of all the Israelites, firstborn, and then being brought up to be the leader of rescuing the Israelites from this land of oppression. In this instance, after the call and birth of Moses, God now wants to set his people, the Israelites, free from this land. And therefore, he brings about the story of the 10 plagues. You remember them. How the land of Egypt was struck by very horrendous plagues. Things that are unimaginable. But at the same time, Pharaoh's heart was still hardened so that God could obtain glory from all this occurrence. Now, after God hears the cry of the people of Israel unto him, it takes us to the next level of the Passover, where the Israelites are prepared for their journey to the promised land. The Israelites are prepared for their deliverance from this kind of high pain that they were undergoing in this land. And then this takes us to the Exodus itself. The Israelites setting out on the journey to the promised land. There are things that happened in the wilderness, how God provided unto them, how God walked with them, how God was faithful unto them, until encampment at this point, where again Pharaoh's heart is hardened and he regrets even what they have done by letting the people of Israel to leave and pursues them. That takes us to where we are today, which is the crossing of the Red Sea, where the mighty hand of God was shown to the people of Israel in a big way that they could not fathom. So, friends, before I move further ahead, I would therefore go to our scripture of the day so that we could read it together and thereafter speak about some few concepts that I want to place across to us to receive as children of God for our transformation and our walk with God, whom we serve in this present day life. So we can read it together from chapter 5. I chose to pick from chapter 5 to 14, although I needed to read the whole of it for completeness, but because of time, this is the part I select to minister the word of God today. So this is what the Holy Bible of the Lord tells us. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services." So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites, who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pihahiroth, opposite Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Praise the Lord. Egyptians and King Pharaoh in this context are a representation of the difficulties, oppression, and obstacles, the hindrances that a child of God, in this case, the chosen people of God, Israelites, face in their life. Egyptians, as I'd mentioned, in the Bible brings to us the knowledge of oppression, the knowledge of sin, bad rulership, and obstacles that hinder us in our ways of serving God freely as His chosen people. Here in this context, we see three things that I want to mention about. Number one, we look at the people of Israel have been set free and they have been left to go on their exodus. However, Pharaoh changes his mind toward the people of Israel, regrets why he lets the people of Israel free to serve their holy God. Number two, we realize that Pharaoh takes an initiative to choose the best of the best in terms of everything within the means of Egypt to come and correct what he deemed a mistake he made by letting the people of Israel to go. And number three, Pharaoh reaches a point of even closing on success. He seems to have overtaken the people of Israel at their encampment. And therefore, in his mind, this is a war that is already well won. When this happens, let's look at the reaction of the people of Israel in this context. The Israelites, whom in this case, as I've mentioned, the house of faith, these people give up completely, especially when they lift their eyes and see the troops of Egyptians, the heavy machinery released by this oppressive ruler marching and approaching their encampment. Look at what they tell their leader, who is Moses in this case. Their statement to Moses is hopeless. And like most of us, we have found ourselves in such instances occasionally in our life when attacked or approached by things we so never expected. These people of Israel, to my surprise, find it more themselves even comforting with their former state in Egypt, because they realize that there is a darkest midnight that has come and they do not see any dawn approaching their life soon. These people have forgotten all the wonders which I am who I am had done in their midst. Indeed, one lesson I learned here is that man is a very forgetful being
in life.
Man is a very forgetful being in life. And we need to take note of this so that we can change our lives to appreciate great things that happen or occur in our lives, especially from God, our Redeemer. Friends, in this book, I look at Moses wondering what to do. Moses, in his situation, has been left alone because everybody gangs up against him. And here he is being accused of putting the Israelites in a terrible state. But I love this book because Moses reminds us.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Of one thing, friends in Christ, that humble man. Amidst all this, Moses remains very humble and obedient to everything that God directs. This tells us that in every situation or circumstance of our life, God usually requires a humble man. That one humble person dedicated to him completely so that he can deliver his people. And my question to us this morning, could you be that humble man currently in the society in which we live? That man who is ready to follow every instruction of God with humility, without questioning, so that God can perform great things in the community we live today. The Bible explicitly describes this man Moses in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. Let's look at what the Bible says about Moses' humility. Now, Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. He accepted to be used by God. In what manner of difficult circumstance for the glory of God the Most High? I challenge us this day, just like Moses, one humble man that God needed to receive glory over oppression of Egyptians to his chosen people, that we could emulate him and be that humble man today to show God's direction to his people, to show mercy to people of God who are in need. That is what we are called for as servants of God. Friends, coming to my key verses, 13 and 14, Ishvan, could you get us there to just read it again? Verse 13 and 14. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be silent." As people of God, often we have found ourselves in compromising states that we are comfortable with our former states of problems, especially When we have trusted in God and difficult things knock at our door, that seems God has deserted us. He is not working in us. He is not ever faithful again to us. And we behave like the people of Israel in this scripture, who would rather be in that state than remain persevering, persistent, and trust in the Lord so that God could fight for them. The reason I bring this from Moses to us today. Moses begins by telling the people to fear not. Fear not. And just like we always know, fear is usually the weapon of the devil to intimidate us, to win on us. The Lord speaks to us this morning through that still small voice, that we remain strong and bold in Him. We remain trustworthy at all time. For this is a necessary requirement for God's salvation to us. We must remain strong. This was the first thing that Moses tells the Israelites. When fear crept up, fear not. Remain bold. Remain strong. Occasionally, friends, we are called upon to keep on being strong, to keep on being bold as a necessity for God's deliverance in our life. Moses then goes ahead to tell them, stand firm. Hold firmly to the faith you profess, irrespective of the prevailing environment. And the question again I have today, this morning, is anything too hard or impossible with God? Let's look at Abraham and Sarah in Genesis 18:14. An example of standing firm, believing that anything is possible before God and nothing is impossible with Him. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. When Abraham and Sarah have given up at an old age, truly they know from the laws of biology and everything that they could not give birth. But here, God, through His angel, brings a visitation to them and tells them that with Him, nothing is impossible. He is a God of covenant. He's a God whom any word that comes from Him must bear fruit. It cannot go back without fulfilling that which it was purposed for. God's calls for us as His children to remain firm in the knowledge that nothing is impossible with Him. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. You have found yourself in a state in which you have given up on God. You have given up on the breakthrough. You have given up on the expectations and your hope. God reminds us today that at His appointed time, that which He promised must come to pass. If it is healing, God will bring it to fruition. If it is education, success, it will come to pass. If it is financial breakthrough, God will bring it to pass. If it is peace that you long for, to the extent you have lost hope, God reminds us that everything is possible with Him. In Jeremiah 32, He reminds us that He is the creator of everything. Our sovereign Lord, You have made the heavens and the earth by Your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for You. Goes ahead to support it in 27. I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for Me? The Israelites thought that creating a way on the Red Sea was an impossibility for God. But God just asked Moses, why do you cry unto Me? What is that in your hand at the moment? Stretch it over the sea, and the sea divides. The Israelites goes through in dry land. A point in which they had lost hope completely. They have hit a dead wall. Nothing ahead, nothing behind. Egyptians at their back, the sea in front of them. But here, the God of greatness comes to create a possibility where there is impossibility. He goes ahead even to create a barrier of cloud between the Israelites and the enemy so that none could reach one another the whole night, providing light to the Israelites and darkness to the enemy so that they could not see. Friends, we have been called to believe in God wholeheartedly, to serve Him with trust that He is a God of all possibility. He is a God who can handle every circumstance in our life if we trust in Him fully and depend on Him without mixing things, without compromising, without looking back, but only focusing on Him and Him alone. As we move ahead, Moses tells them that the same day they're going to see the salvation or deliverance of the Lord. Friends, when we trust in the Lord and stand firm, His nature is always deliverance to mankind. His nature is salvation unto us who wait upon Him. Us who sincerely look unto Him. Us who fully commit unto Him and Him alone. Let's look at the story of Jonah. Jonah is in the belly of the fish. Jonah is gone. But the Lord makes even the fish to spew out Jonah alive from its belly for 3 days. Jonah 2:9. Jonah says, but I with shouts of grateful praise will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. This is the key. Salvation, deliverance, comes from the Lord, but it calls upon us to wait unto Him with sincerity, to wait unto him, hopefully, to wait unto him completely. Finally, 14, it says, the Lord will always, underline the word, the Lord will always. That is what my version says. I see this is not written, but from mine, it says, the Lord will fight for you. Yeah, this also says, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be silent. The Lord wants to fight for us like he did to the Israelites at their point of need. The only call unto us is that we be still on him. May this forever be our preamble to the dedication of the statutes of God. When Jesus dwells in us as a people of God, this is a reality in our life, and it must come to pass. I want to pray that in our walk with God, in our life as Christians, may we always defeat the obstacles that come to hinder us in our journey with God today and even forever, that we may remain faithful to him, both in season and out of season, that our trust and hope is fully anchored on the Creator of heaven and earth. May the cares and the burdens of this world, especially that we go through today, never block us from hoping on Jesus, the risen Christ, crucified for our sins. For if we believe in him, we anchor our faith fully on him as a people. We trust in him wholeheartedly. God will be by our side. God will always cross with us the uncrossable. God will always lead us in the wilderness, in a place that is impassable. God will always hold our hands and direct us in holiness, in love, so that at the end of our life, we may be found worthy before him. We may be found acceptable before him to inherit the promised land, which is our eternal home in heaven. Shall we pray, brethren? Father, in the most high name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you this morning for your visitation upon our lives. Thank you, King of Kings, for speaking to us and reminding us that in this present day, we are faced with a lot of difficulties, just like the Israelites. We want to trust upon you in our life. This time that many people have lost faith, many people have gone astray, many people have walked away from you, Abba Father. You are reminding us that we fear not, we stand firm, we see thy salvation, that Lord, you promise to fight for us, only we be still upon you. I want to pray that, Lord, you shall continue keeping us as a church, as a people, to depend on you, to look upon you, Abba Father, irrespective of our circumstances. Walk with us as IBCD Church, that you bring us into a deeper knowledge of your understanding. You bring us into a deeper connection and bondage with your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, to serve him faithfully. Today, Lord, meet us at different points of needs. Lift out things that block us from pursuing your righteousness. May we cling unto you alone, Abba Father. I pray for every congregant here today, including myself, that, Father, may all our days be focused on serving you. May all our days be focused on righteousness, holiness, and pleasing you. To the glory and honor of your name, I pray, trusting and believing. Amen.